So if you reflect on the, first of all, if you reflect on the kinds of sufferings, the suffering of change, and the pervasive composite suffering. So the first one, the suffering, so that is more evidently seen among the three unfortunate realms, the realm of hell, hungry ghost, and animals. And whereas the suffering of change that is more prevalent in the desire realm, the realm of human beings and devas, and among the devas, still if we are particular, we can see them in the form realm up till the third level of the concentration of form realm. And whereas the third kind of suffering, which is the worst and the subtlest, which is called the pervasive composite or conditioned suffering, that actually pervades the entire samsara. So, in order to overcome this third kind of suffering, that is the conditioned suffering, so we see that this pervasive suffering is basically conditioned or caused by the delusions which are rooted to the self-grasping mind, and which in turn can be traced to the seeds of the delusions. And then eradication or achieving freedom from these delusions is called nirvana, and achieving the subtler state of achievement, that is the state of cessation of the subtlest of the imprints, is called omniscient state. So these two are actually the ultimate goals of the Buddha Dharma. So there in the 400 stanzas by Aridheva, it is very clearly stated as to in what way the Buddha Dharma actually helps sentient beings from alleviate the beings from the state of the state of the unfortunate realms, and then gradually to the state of the nirvana, and then eventually to the state of the highest good, that is the Buddhahood. So, when you speak about the three kinds, the teachings in relation to the three types of beings, so the first one, it is to actually free the sentient beings from the unfortunate realms or from the suffering of suffering, that is the evident sufferings. And then the second teaching, that is the teachings of teachings in relation to the middling scope person. So that is actually aimed to achieve the state of nirvana, state of liberation from samsara. And the last one, that is the teaching unique to the high school person. So that is aimed to achieve the high state of enlightenment, Buddhahood. So that can be actually achieved or obtained by way of eradicating the subtleties of the imprints which are laid by the self-grasping mind and the other delusions. So next topic, generating certainty with regard to the general presentation of the path. So first, how all the Buddha's teachings are contained in the paths of the three types of beings. And second, giving reasons for the gradual guidance for the point of view of the three types of persons. So it is said in the great exposition of the teachings of the path that the teaching of the small school person that is taught in this teaching, it is because that is taught as a preliminary or as a part of the teaching, and it is not taught as exclusively to be meant for those small school persons. It is because that teaching should be is a kind of commonly, the common matter should be commonly understood even by the great practitioners of the Mahayana teachings. As such, that teaching should be, rather than calling as the teaching of the small scale person, it should be called as the teaching in common with the small scale persons. So next, given reasons for gradual guidance from the point of view of the three types of beings. So the ultimate intention of the Buddha Shakyamuni is to lead all other sentient beings to that very state, which is very similar, a kind of facsimile of what the Buddha Shakyamuni has actually obtained through all his efforts. So all those teachings the Buddha Shakyamuni has given, they have to be, whether directly or indirectly, has to be somehow linked to actually leading the sentient beings to the high state of enlightenment, the kind that he himself has obtained. And those teachings which explains on the practice of bodhicitta and great compassion and so forth, they comprise the teaching of the Mahayana. So in order to be successful in such meditation, you must first of all understand the suffering nature of the sentient beings. So that aspect of the path which meditates to generate a sense of closeness, sense of dearness towards all sentient beings. So that comprised the teachings of the Mahayana. And whereas, in order to really generate such kind of thinking, such kind of attitude, you should see the suffering nature of the sentient beings. So in order to do that, we should first of all have the kind of experience or reflection, taking into consideration yourself as the object of the suffering. So when you do that, that kind of teaching or that kind of practices comprise the teachings which are common to the lower scope persons. So what His Holiness has commented right now, they all comprise under this heading, giving reasons for gradual guidance from the point of view of the three types of beings. The purpose of guiding someone by way of the paths of the three beings are giving reasons for such gradual guidance. So the text reads, first, thus although it is explained in terms of three beings, a path of great beings contains within it a path of the two other beings, which is why Master Ashwagosha says that these two are branches of the Mahayana path. Consequently, here they are not guidance on the part of small beings who make only the happiness of existence the object of attainment, nor on the part of intermediate beings who make only liberation from samsara for their own benefit the object of attainment. Rather, through considering some parts common to those two to be preparatory practices leading to the part of great beings, they are taken to be branches for training in the part of great beings. So, a question is raised as to why, for a minor practitioner, the teachings of the minor teachings, it is included some of the teachings of the lower school persons. So here, the first reason given is that the Mahayana practitioners in the initial stage, although that person may claim to be a Mahayana practitioner, but in actuality, his mental state is too low that he may feel arrogance. He may feel himself a sense of arrogance, saying that, "Oh, I'm a Mahayana practitioner." So to let him really reduce this sense of arrogance, so this teaching of this teaching of the lower scopes, they are included. And secondly, this way of leading the disciples should be really beneficial to the different mentality, to three different kinds of beings with different mentalities. So because there are some people who are actually aspirant to achieve mere human, a mere favorable birds like humans or devas, for those people, in order to fulfill their desire, in order for to fulfill the desire of these people, the first part of the teaching, that is the teaching in common to this small school person, can be of benefit to that person. And whereas for those people who are actually a minor practitioner, as for a practitioner, the minor practitioner, so first of all, he has to have the experience of the desire to achieve a favorable birth for him to continue with his meditation, for him to continue with his path and so forth. As such, the teaching which is common to the teaching of the lower school person or the small school person is taught. And likewise, when speaking about the teaching in common to the middle school person, so again, so that is not exclusively for those people of the middle school. Rather, it is should be something common to the minor practitioner as well. It is because that the minor practitioner, for him, in order to proceed through the minor trainings, he has to have the sense of renunciation first of all, which should be a prior requisite to cultivate bodhicitta and great compassion. Anyway, so these teachings. So this teaching of the graded path that is taught in this fashion, as common to the lower school, small school person, common to the middle school person, and a minor practitioner. So this gradual process is taught. The second reason why it is taught that way is to benefit those people who are actually belonging to the category of the lower school person exclusively, and those exclusively belonging to the category of the middle school person.